You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And a warm welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You've joined us on Monday's edition of the podcast, where we're racing at Suddle and Carlisle, two national hunt fixtures there, and we're on the poly track at Kempton Park as well for fans of the level. And you'll hear every race live on William Hill Racing Radio from 12:20 p.m. with Dave Kellner, Rory Delaghi and Lord John Budden in the studio. But ahead of all that, joining myself, Sam Norris, on the podcast is John Budden to look ahead to four races and a roundup of Saturday's action. How are you, John? Are you well?
I am very well indeed, yes. Apart from the fact I didn't nap Indian Voyage, who won for Maurice Barnes at Kelso yesterday.
Yeah, but it's a fresh season now, John. You can go again in the naps table.
Absolutely right, yes. And I've got to keep going, yeah. Sam, yes. Absolutely. No running in snatches.
Yeah, that's right, because Ross Briley almost made all last season, didn't he, John?
He did. I felt very sorry for Rory, actually, yesterday, yeah. Because we were going to talk about Hayley Turner. He napped that particular horse, and I know it was quite well beaten in the end by Litigant, but 25-1, I think it was, and that could have been a decisive factor.
Yeah, could have been, absolutely. But everyone goes again. It's a fresh start for the jumping season. A couple of new names in the nap. Well, not new names. Will Smith returns for the jumps, and Kevin O'Malley for his debut. Think you'll be able to keep them at bay this year, John?
Interesting. Kevin O'Malley is pretty shrewd.
Yeah.
He comes from the Rory Delaghi field, in my view. So, yes, I'll go for Will Smith because, he's did pretty well again for Hampshire, but I'm a Kent cricket man, so I want to keep Will Smith down.
Okay, absolutely. We must have a roundup of Saturday's action, of course, John. Plenty, as there always is to get to. The flat season finally came to a conclusion. It seems to almost die very slowly, doesn't it, the flat season?
Yes, you mustn't get me on that too much. I really don't think it was necessary to end the championships on Champions Day. The end of the season, as you say, damp squib now. It used to be a real highlight. And it wouldn't have made, of course, any difference this year to the champion jockeyship. No. Sylvester D'Souza's got it sewn up, and he would have been the champion jockey at Doncaster yesterday, as he was at Ascot a fortnight or so earlier. But I would prefer it to go to the last day. It might have made a difference to the apprentices' title. It's Jack Garrity and Tom Marquand. They were very close, only whatever it was, a couple. Mm. And Jack could have had one or two rides, which might have made a difference. But it was a pity Hayley didn't win the November handicap.
Yeah, would have been a lovely sign off Hayley Turner. We'll get to Hayley Turner in just a sec, John. But we must start with the winner, though, Litigant. That's the November handicap and the Ebor that he's won. He's earned connections a few quid this season.
Certainly. And Grandma, who is, of course, a mythical figure, really. But Grandma used to say, particularly in a big handicap, always back number one because it's the best horse. And Litigant, I think, clearly showed he was the best horse. Very pleased he won because he won the Ebor well, but there was a slight feeling that it was a bit of a fluke. You know, Joe Tweet doesn't very often win big handicaps with horses of this nature. What is this horse doing winning the Ebor? Well, we now know that he is a very, very decent horse because, my goodness, he did win yesterday.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Won very nicely. Of course, the fairy tale ending, though, John, would have been had Hayley Turner been able to saddle a winner on her final ride, finishing second. That's racing, I suppose, though, isn't it?
It is racing. It was great pity, but she did very well to finish second. I mean, it was a 25-1 shot for Tony Carroll, although napped by Rory. And I think it's a pity she's going, because, she has been a real benchmark for lady riders, and she set the example which many very useful lady riders now follow. I always used to think the great thing about Hayley Turner, quite apart from, the sparkle and the blonde hair and the good looks and so on, was that when she was actually riding, particularly in the peak of her form, you could hardly realise it was a lady rider. I mean, to say she timed the challenges, she rode powerful finishes. She was the only lady rider ever to ride 100 winners in a calendar year. But she looked just like... Ryan Moore. That may be a slight exaggeration, but she looked like a real jockey, and she was a real jockey. Two Group 1 wins, and I think she'd probably chosen the right time to go. And she has set an example which has been followed by a whole crew of really good young lady riders. We've got quite a lot in the north, actually. Emma Sayers, much improved, for example. But we've got to say that Sammy Jo Bell is the perfect successor, isn't she? She may be just a tiny bit shorter, but she's got a wonderful smile. Lovely blue eyes, golden hair. My goodness, she can ride. Oh, how she can ride. How she managed to get Arctic Feeling up to win at Catterick two outings ago, I still don't know. Having napped and backed Adam's Ale, and he was two lengths there. Even Gareth Topham, you know, was virtually calling him the winner, just looking for others who were coming through the field. And then along comes Sammy Jo on Arctic Feeling and gets up in the last stride. She is a really very good rider, and it's a fairly obvious choice. But I think she will succeed Hayley Turner and do really well.
Yeah, she looks like the one to be picking up the mantle. And of course, we had a female jockey winning the Melbourne Cup for the first time in its 155-year history. So a good time for lady riders at the moment, John.
Yes, indeed. And coming, I believe, for the Shergar Cup next year. Oh, that's what the Ascot authorities are hoping. So Miss Payne is obviously a very, very useful rider.
Yeah, that's right, absolutely. And that about concludes our action on the flat on Saturday. We'll get into the jumping now because we're all fully in jumps mode after the November handicap, of course. And we saw the long, long-awaited return of Simon Sigg at Aintree on Saturday, beaten by stablemate Bobsworth. But you have to say that was a pleasing return from Simon Sigg after such a long time off the track.
Yeah, it was a tremendous return and a great race. And no wonder Nicky Henderson was a bit moist about the eyes, which he tends to get rather emotional when these wonderful old horses of his turn up and win again. Great to see Bobsworth winning, actually. Yeah. You know, I back Bobsworth to win the Gold Cup. It seems yonks ago, but he's obviously disappointed since. Looked as though he was perhaps a light of other days, but certainly not yesterday. But we concentrate on Simon Sigg. Lovely horse this, you know. Owned, of course, by Ronnie Bartlett, who has the biggest potato business in the whole of Great Britain. You eat them all, Sam, when you have chips, anything from Ronnie Bartlett. But I saw this horse win quite a valuable novice hurdle at Kelso about, now it must be 3 years ago, I suppose. Certainly, 3 years ago. And he hit a wonderfully good-looking horse, and he did travel so well on that day, and went then to Cheltenham to win, and then won the Arkle the following season. Has been off, hasn't he, since then? But, you know, Nicky Henderson's got a great, he's tremendously adept, shall we say, at bringing horses back. And I thought Simon Sigg was terrific yesterday. He didn't actually win, but, and the next time will obviously be the question mark. But my suggestion is that he travelled really well, he jumped really well, he wasn't given too hard a race, and I would have thought that all being well, he'll improve, and they say they never come back, but we've just seen Bobsworth and come back, and I think Simon Sigg would do the same.
Yeah, that's right. Have to agree with all your sentiments there. As you say, wasn't knocked about by Barry Geraghty, and if there is going to be a trainer who's going to bring one back, Nicky Henderson would be towards the top of the list, wouldn't he, John?
He would certainly be towards the top of the list. And, you know, we've seen it happen time and time again. Barry Geraghty, interesting. I think he's a tremendously fine horseman. You know, A.P. McCoy was terrific, as we know. Now, you know, 20 championships and so on. You can't beat that wonderful rider. And great to know that he's going to be giving his wisdom on television at Cheltenham fairly soon. But Barry Geraghty is such a stylish, quiet horseman. And my goodness, horses do run for him. And as you say, I think he gave Simon Sigg the perfect ride yesterday. Some people will say, come on, don't be silly, it wasn't perfect, he didn't win.
Yeah.
But you know, bearing the circumstances, I thought it was excellent.
Yeah, certainly was. Anything else caught the eye over the weekend, John, before we take a look at Monday?
Well, you have to say that Charlie Longson's horse is still in great shape. Mm. Dropout Joe won very well at Wincanton. And as I said, I think at the beginning of the programme, Morris Barnes up north has got his horses going really well. And I've been waiting for Indian Voyage to win a race. And he won very well at Kelso yesterday. Jumped beautifully. I'd just be interested with the handicapper. There are certain trainers who appear to fall foul of the weights juggler, and Morris Barnes is very much one of those. You will see him win a race, and horses are then put up nearly a stone. Now, Indian Voyage was on a very decent mark yesterday at Kelso. Will he be put up 10 or 11 pounds? I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Okay, yeah, very interesting. We must look ahead, though, John, to four races on Monday. Three meetings to come on Monday afternoon. Sutherland Carlisle, we're jumping there, and we've got fat action on the all-weather at Kempton. We're taking a little bit from each meeting on this podcast, and we'll start with Suttle's 130. This is a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Dead eight runners go to post for this one at the time of recording, so it could be a nice each-way angle into the race. What did you like, John?
Interesting little race. You've got to jump at Southwell. You know, it is, I'd say that's a rather silly statement to say, but in fact,
mean,
the fences
though, yeah,
at Southwell, which you would think would be portable and very easy to jump, do catch horses out quite a lot. There are four runners I thought had a fair chance here. Simply Wings, possibly pulled up last time out, not a horse I follow. Perfect Timing is quite interesting because that's trained by Neil Mulholland. And, you know, he's sending his horses far and wide. He's had winners at Carlisle, for example, Neil Mulholland, and at Sedgefield. Horses in very good shape, and Perfect Timing didn't do much last time out, but you never know. But the two I like are near the bottom, or certainly one of them's near the bottom, Lad from Highworth, a point-to-pointer, hunter-chaser, sound horse, not much finishing pace, but I think he'll be there or thereabouts. But my selection is Benefit Cut. Interesting in a way because trained by Stuart Edmonds, who for a long time was assistant to the late Rennie Robson, now taken over and doing really well. And Brendan Powell is riding, and he has quite a lot of winners at Southwell, Brendan Powell. Very good young jockey, and I thought this horse ran well at Worcester, second to Purple and Gold. Now that, to me, is the best form in the race. So Benefit Cut would be the choice.
Okay, Benefit Cut then it is for John in the 130 at Suttle. We'll take in two from Carlisle now. Would be remiss of us to have John on the podcast and not take in some action from Carlisle. Their 145 is a novice's chase. 2.5 miles the trip for the six of these down to go to post at the time of recording. There won't be too many in the game that know more about Carlisle than you, John.
Yeah. Well, I know quite a lot about Carlisle. That's true, Sam. And many people will say, what's he doing in Leeds when there's racing at Carlisle? But this is a decent little race. I thought three horses stood out. A Maximizer is an interesting runner for Simon West. Now, this was a horse which won a point to point, not this current season, but the one before. Ran at Carlisle at the beginning of the jump season, and everyone thought, well, he's not going to win, he's only a point-to-point winner. It's quite a decent little race, I remember. I forget who was the odds-on favourite, but Maximizer set off in front and absolutely stormed home, but then hasn't run again since, and he went wrong after that win. But he's a very decent prospect from there, so interesting to see him run. I think he'll have to be in pretty good form to beat the two S's. Silsal is going to be hard to beat, isn't he? I mean, this is a really good hurdler, Silsal. He won the Welsh champion hurdle at Force last season. He was second in the National Spirit at Fontwell. He went over to France to run in a grade two hurdle as well. He's a pretty useful sort of horse, and I think he'd be very hard to beat. Paul Nichols is beginning to send horses up to Carlisle. Had a couple running at the last meeting, so it's good to see him with this runner. And we've also got See You at Midnight in this contest. And Sandy Thompson trains this horse up in the borders of Scotland. A really good hurdler a couple of seasons ago, See You at Midnight. But Sandy's always said this horse would make a very much better chaser. He runs here for the first time over fences, and it'll be interesting to see how he goes. But the Thompson horses haven't been in great shape so far this season. They've needed the runs, so I'm going to go with Silsal.
Seal Salah then for Paul Nicholls and Sam Twiston Davis in the 145 for John. We'll stick at Carlisle for our next one then. This is their 250, a graduation chase over an extended 3-mile trip here. Just the 5 go to post, but again, a title race, John.
Yes, and Paul Nicholls again here with Salubrious, who must have a very good chance on hurdle form. Hasn't been out, of course, for quite a while. When last seen, was doing reasonably well at Fontwell in the novice chase. This is a slightly different track, very much more than slightly different. Big galloping track here, but he's a good horse, Salubrious, and I fancy he's going to start favourite. Sue Smith and husband Harvey won this contest about 2 or 3 seasons ago with a horse called Vintage Star. And Vintage Star came back to form last time out, landed a touch at Carlisle a week ago. And they've got a horse in this race that I watched very carefully at Kelso a couple of weeks ago, and that is Blakemount. He jumped like the proverbial stag, Sam. He really did jump well on that day. And as he went down the back straight for the final time, it really looked as though he might win. But he just tired in the straight, eventually finished third behind one of Lucinda Russell's horses, Son of Arthur, I think. And I thought to myself then, he's bound to win soon. And with Vintage Star having set this sort of example, I think Blakemount would go well. Flying the Ointment could be Deputy Dan. Was started last season, expected to do really well. Things didn't go quite so well after quite a good start. But Oliver Sherwood up at Carlisle, Many Clouds, you know, is an interesting runner. 3 horses, I thought, excellent chances. Salubrious, Deputy Dan. I'm going to go with Blakemount.
Okay. John going with Blakemount then in that 250 event at Carlisle. Just one more to come then. We're on the poly track now at Kempton for their 5.10. This is the London Middle Distance Series final. 1.3 is the trip for the 9 runners who go to post for this class 2. And as you'd imagine with the Middle Distance Series final, John, a good pot on offer and plenty of course and distance form to go at.
Yes, plenty of course and distance form, and 1 or 2 quite good horses. So Mark Prescott's got the Steward running here, and ran pretty decently on the Tapita at Wolverhampton last time out. Luke Morris will make certain the Steward, you know, goes pretty close in this race. Also in the contest with a definite chance, we have Tears of the Sun with Adam Kirby in the saddle for Clive Cox. The stable just beginning to come back into a bit of form. 2 others, we have Revision and we have Justice Bell. I think myself that Justice Bell is perhaps the best horse in the race and ran a very good result at Newmarket last time out, finishing 3rd in a contest that is certainly as good, if not better, than this one. Could be very hard to beat from a number 1 draw, Justice Bell. But the horse I'm going to go for is Revision, who's got plenty of Kempton form and actually won last time out for John Best. And that was the first time he managed to get his nose in front. I thought he won quite well. And I believe that the stable could have found the knack to winning with this horse. So I'm going to go for Revision just to mug Justice Bell.
Okay, then Revision, John Best and Kieran Fox in that 5.10 at Kempton. Just remind us, please, one more time, John, of the 4 selections for Monday.
Well, we're going for Benefit Cut in the open of the 1.30 at Southwell. Sill Sail in the 1.45 for Paul Nicholls. That's at Carlisle. In the 2.45, also at Carlisle, Sue Smith's Blakemount, who jumped so well at Kelso for the graduation chase, and Revision for the 5.10 at Kempton.
Wonderful stuff. There we are then. Thoughts of John Budden ahead of Monday's racing. And you can hear John back in the Racing Radio studio from 12:20 p.m. on Monday afternoon alongside Dave Kellner and Rory Delaghi. We've got Southwell, we've got Kempton, and we've got Carlisle to enjoy on Monday afternoon. Thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today, John, and best of luck on Monday.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.